Chairman of the Commissioners with us, Kent Weems. How you doing, Kent?
I'm doing good, Corey. I got a nice rain last night. So I hate to say that. Some folks probably didn't get anything.
How much did you get?
60 hundredths.
Okay.
Lots of sharp lightning, so I'm glad it was raining.
Yes.
And didn't start any fires.
Yeah, that's good. You've been getting good regular rains up there.
So. We really have. We've kind of been in the monsoon belt this summer.
Yeah.
Once it started, it was slow to start, but and so our, you know, our, a lot of our cool season grasses didn't come on very well. But when it did hit, boy, we got some timely rains this year, and it's been very beneficial.
That is good, and hopefully we'll get the regular rains in this area too. It's been pretty spotty for most people, I know.
Yeah, and I didn't hear what they had here in the valley. Haven't read any reports on that, but it kind of looked like that storm system was in the Platte Valley predominantly. So hopefully they got some good rain down here.
I know that we didn't get any in Ogallala, so that's all I know. So.
And that's a shame. You're a regular church attendee, so I can't believe it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's not as well. So,
of course, that can trigger hail for the wrong person to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's oftentimes hail associated with that too. But anyway, let's get into yesterday. Pretty cut and dried meeting. You didn't have any big. There was nothing on data center on the agenda. We will talk about kind of a schedule that you have for dealing with regulations on data centers coming up. But yesterday, the only two biggies were the hub contract, which I guess they're known as Hub International, Great Plains LLC. And they find and secure the county's various insurance policies.
Right.
And deal with that.
We took a little different approach on buying insurance programs and policies just maybe 3-4 years ago. And Hub International here in North Platte, Tanner Patera is the representative that we work with. They came to us and actually kind of originated the idea that they wanted to be totally independent. They've got numerous lines, numerous companies that they can sell product through, and rather than have them be commission driven, they offered to do it on a flat fee structure year to year. And so we've had a contract with those folks for a few years, and we renewed it yesterday. And what that essentially does is it takes all the motivation out of the insurance agent to sell a higher commission product, maybe not as efficient for the county, and shop the best product in the market. Mm-hmm. So we think it's paid dividends. We're very appreciative that they're willing to work with us in that fashion. And they are good stewards. They understand it's tax dollars, and they live here and pay taxes here. So hats off to Hub and Tanner for the hard work they do to keep our premiums down.
Well, and a lot of people may question you're paying them $50,000. This year, and then a slight upward adjustment for inflation the next
Correct.
Couple of years. But you have to look at it from a kind of 50,000 feet up approach. What are they saving us? You know,
well,
by
that's
allowing
just it.
Paying them to do this.
If it were on a commission basis, it would be higher than that.
Yeah.
And again, you know, as I mentioned to the folks yesterday, having been in the brokerage business many years back, that entire industry is driven by commission, and it always kind of taints the integrity of the representative of the investment product you're buying, because you don't know if they're selling it to you because it's got a better commission rate or whether it's the best product for you. And so I guess I liken it to that. You know, you talk about investment advisors who are performance-based, and this is not necessarily performance-based, but it is based on the fact that we want them to go out in the market and get us the best product. So cost per thousand or 10,000 or 100,000 of liability coverage and so forth, and comprehensive coverage. So in that respect, Corey, we'd be paying more than that than that $50,000 in commissions if we did go that route, and then you're not sure you're getting the best product. And in this fashion, I'm confident we are. We're getting the best value we can buy.
Okay, and all the commissioners voted for that three-year contract, so you're taken care of insurance-wise next 3 years on that. The other thing on your regular agenda was discuss and considering appointments to the Lincoln County Veterans Services Committee, and all three on the list were appointed. Actually, Dave Barron was already on the committee, and
he was. And to their credit, Joe Wazorik is the chairman of their Veterans Committee, and mm-hmm. he and Tom Gann came over, our Veteran Service Officer, and Joe called themselves out. He said an oversight on our part. We realize after reviewing the statute that we can make a recommendation. We can't just simply make the appointment. And so they were kind of just writing a technical wrong and putting that forth mm-hmm. to the board so we could officially ratify Dave Barron. And of course, he's been an excellent member to their committee. And so that was also unanimous to reaffirm David Barron on that, as well as putting Pam Elliott and Benton Miller on. Mr. Miller is going to fill the vacancy left by Jeff Florham, who had to step away. And there's 2 years left on that service. And mm-hmm. the other two are 5 years for both David and Pam Elliott. So, we got that done. And they do a great job. We commended them for having tremendous oversight. Tom was, he wanted to make sure, he was adamant in making sure everyone understood that the committee makes those appointment recommendations independent of the veteran service officer. He doesn't have any input on that, and that's by design. It's not that they don't care what he thinks, but they don't want bias and personalities impacting that decision, and they want those committee members to be kind of independent thinkers. And so that's kind of why that's always been crafted in that fashion. But nevertheless, they work well together. Tom's doing a great job over there. So we've got those good folks to serve, and thank you for them mm-hmm. for their service.
Is the Veterans Service Committee, is that like a board?
It is.
That meets every so often make decisions?
They meet periodically, and mm-hmm. they kind of... they review issues with Veterans Affairs and maybe, kind of influence where the emphasis would be in the Veterans Service Office and field issues with the public, with veterans in the community that say, well, I'm not getting what I need. So that's part of what that committee does, is they provide that catalyst for change if it needs to be, and also, share ideas and concerns with the veteran service officer that maybe he hasn't seen or heard. So they're just kind of a conduit in between the veterans and the community and the veteran service office itself.
Okay. Anything worthy of mention? I noticed you had on the very beginning of the agenda a possible change to the Lincoln County mileage reimbursement rate. Did you... adjust that at all?
We did not. Historically, it was put on there just for consideration because someone in the group, one of the row officers or someone, asked that question, and it impacts the Sheriff's Department when they serve papers and things like that. Mm-hmm. But Commissioner Hughley pointed out that typically we follow whatever the state mileage number is from the state of Nebraska, because we do follow state statute, not federal.
Right.
And the issue was that the feds had raised theirs, or the IRS had recognized a higher rate. I think it was 76 cents, I believe. At any rate, it's 72.5 currently. And, without any fanfare, we just kind of universally agreed that we would just leave it right there where it is. And we're not necessarily leaving that much money on the table as far as collecting fees for the sheriff's office and others. So 72.5 is what the state is, and that's what we're going to remain for the balance of this year. And we'll take a look at it again in January when those numbers come out each year.
Did you adopt the resolution signing the county annual certification of program compliance for NDOT?
We did. That's by statute. You have to do that. You're basically certifying that your highway department, your road superintendent, are doing things up to snuff and meeting the Nebraska Board of Public Roads classifications and standards as they define those. And that is essential to getting matching money when we go after, you know, bridge repairs and things like that. So we have to make sure we fill out that paperwork and stay in compliance with the public roads classifications and standards guidelines. So we definitely pass that resolution unanimously as well.
Talk about the service contract with Vanguard Appraisals.
Yeah, the assessor's office has used Vanguard for their appraisal structure. It's another way. It's one of there's other vendors that they can utilize, but Vanguard's been very user friendly, according to our assessor, in helping establish good software programs that you can plug in numbers and you're getting a fair and equitable result countywide. That's, you know, the key requirement in the assessor's office, is that they cannot be arbitrary and capricious. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have some kind of a structure of software program that sets the same kind of regimen in each and every time you make an evaluation on properties, you run the risk of being arbitrary. So Vanguard is just one company that provides that capability. She brought it to us to consider extending that beyond the current, I think, 3-year contract we're still in. We did suggest we'd mull that over a little bit longer. Some of us are, you know, chronic, I guess, doubting Thomas's, you know, or like, why would they want to go out to that many years out when we still have a contract in good standing with them? We weren't sure the motivation there. I don't know that there's anything nefarious about it, but we kind of wanted to chew on it a little bit before we gave our blessing to extending that contract.
It's like a magazine subscription.
Well, it kind of is.
They want to get as far out as possible.
They are. They're being proactive. You know, I can understand that, but the first thing that comes to me into my mind is, what else is out there if they want to lock you in? What else is out there?
Are they worried about their competition?
Exactly.
You know,
you hit the nail on the head. So that's, you know, my radar goes up when I see that. And let's ask more questions. So we'll delve into that a little deeper here.
So this one yesterday, was that for 2030 to 35 then? Or
yeah, that was going to throw it on out there a ways. And she is, you know, she did say, Julie did say, you know, this is not a big thing. It's just they proposed it to her and she brought it to us for discussion and consideration. Okay. And so it's not like we have to make a decision next week. You know, it's
so our current one goes through 2029 then?
I believe it is. Have to look back to my notes on that,
yeah,
Corey. But
you got time.
We've got plenty of time to look at that. But again, me being the doubting Thomas that I typically am, I always want to know, why are they motivated to come in and try to lock us into an extended contract?
Mm-hmm.
I want to know what else is out there, I guess. So I'm sure we'll individually and maybe collectively be talking to the assessor in the coming months and you know, towards the end of the year, and say, you know, what else is out there? I know you're happy with this system, and it's kind of a big thing to have to change everything to a different database and software program. So their support has been extremely helpful. I'm not suggesting that we would, you know, drop them and move to someone else, but I just want to kind of look around in that.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good stance to have there. You had a couple of people applying for liquor permits for special events coming up in September. Did you pass those?
We did.
Through?
Routinely passed those. One was out at the farmhouse venue, and I think one was at the Taft, the old Taft schoolhouse. And both of those applicants are catered licensed caterers, and they typically have a higher regimen of training and experience. They've both done events like this before, and the sheriff is always made aware of these. And no news is good news for feedback from the sheriff's office. If they have a problem, they're usually in the room. And our clerk assured us that the sheriff's office raised no concerns with either one of these applicants. So we routinely pass those, and we know those folks are good stewards of their liquor license. So they'll do the banding and IDs, and they'll have plenty of people on staff to make sure minors are not partaking.
Okay. And then finally, it was kind of the headline that wasn't the headline the Telegraph picked, but wasn't really officially, I guess it was chatted about in your meeting yesterday, was people are wondering when you're going to have the opportunity to adopt the data center regs that you just got done basically a couple of weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
So the Planning Commission's first to deal with it, and they are expected to meet next Tuesday and decide whether to endorse the 9-page package.
Correct.
Of regulations.
And they've had opportunity, they've had meetings and, you know, rehash some of those key points in that 9-page document. Had chances to tweak those. I don't know specifically if there's anything they have modified or suggested to be modified, but essentially they've had quite a little time here to review everything that was proposed initially in the first draft, and then weigh in on things that they think maybe the language is not quite right or what have you.
Yep.
And legal counsel's also obviously been heavily involved. So the tentative plan is, Judy Clark came by to chat about it, and August 11th is when they're planning on having that meeting. Out of an extreme level of caution, and I commend Judy for being this way, she said, I didn't want to turn around and make a back-to-back commitment for a public hearing to the county board, not having knowledge that we'll have a quorum on the 11th, and that would put everything in askew, and further confuse the public as far as when the public hearings are going to be, which is the last thing we want to do. So what we both agreed to was, and we think it's a great plan, is they'll go ahead, and they've structured their meeting for the 11th. And assuming they do have a quorum, and we're hopeful they will, they typically do, then we will turn around and give it plenty of time on the 10-day legal notice, and the publication times lag somewhat in the Telegraph. So the most viable point to have us hold our public hearing would be August 31st. So that's kind of the tentative plan. As long as they have their meeting on the 11th, then we'll turn around and Judy will publish our notice for the 31st of August for our hearing on it.
Okay, and then depending on what kind of crowd they get attending the Planning Commission meeting next week, you could make a move to have your meeting that day, August 31st, in City Hall.
Right? Correct. And, truthfully, it's kind of a hassle to take it upstairs to district court, because that thing is hardwired and it's hard to restructure the layout for all the audio and video stuff. And it was very onerous and very, it's kind of a large task for IT last time we held the hearing in that courtroom. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that courtroom's not available anyway. The statute says, we try to, we're supposed to take reasonable efforts to, make sure that we accommodate in a public hearing for a room. You can't outguess, if there's going to be 5 or 50 people or 100 people to a given event. But nevertheless, as a backstop, we have been assured by our friends at the City Hall. Lane Grosseth was gracious enough to kind of draw a line through the chamber room for us on that date. So if we do need that extra room, and they have an overflow room, and so they can accommodate a larger group than we can in the county board meeting room, we will simply publish and have our entire meeting there. So we do have plan B. We'll wait and see how many folks are at the August 11th meeting for the Planning Commission. And if it's just a, you know, kind of an average size attendance, we'll probably just leave our meeting in the courthouse. But we'll make that decision on the 12th. We'll have a chat with Judy Clark and kind of take a consensus and maybe just unceremoniously publish it to meet at City Hall.
Sounds good. Kent Weems, Lincoln County Commissioner, Chairman, been with us this morning. Appreciate you dropping by and explaining things for us, and look forward to chatting a week from today, sir.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.
All right, we'll take a break. Mugs in the Morning going to continue. We'll get Lisa Burke in here with Visit North Platte, and we'll talk tourism and lots of events coming up yet this month and even on into September. So stay tuned for that as Mugs in the Morning continues here on KODY North Platte.